Welcome to the Hubcast, brought to you by the Interior Designers Hub, where we help and support interior designers to get trained, get into the industry, and to grow wildly successful businesses. If you want to work in the field you love, create the lifestyle you desire, and make the money you truly deserve, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Kate Hatherall. Let's get into it. In today's episode, we speak with Amy Gauthier of HG Interior Design. Amy talks to us about how she battled with imposter syndrome and comparisonitis to go ahead and create a successful business. Welcome to the Hubcast, Amy.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. It's very nice to have you here. So you are up and running in business and you run HG Interior Design. So tell us a little bit about your business, where you're located and the type of design you do.
Yeah, so business has been going for 3 years now. I'm located in Leicestershire and I specialise in panelling. So most of my designs involve panelling.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about panelling or for people that are listening that don't really know what that means.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about adding something to a bedroom, a statement to a living space, it can be any types. I mean, you've got quite a few different sort of paneling specifications that you can go with. So you can do tooth and nail, you can do things like wood up, which are acupaneling. So there's loads of different sort of variations of it, but I tend to use it because I feel like it creates a really nice focal point and it's almost a bit minimalist. So you don't have to then add loads of stuff to a room because it's a focal point in itself. So I think having started the business 3 years ago, it just started to get really popular. And I guess the more popular it got, the more I was involved with it. And then it just seemed like every client that came back to me wanted it doing. So it was almost like, well, if you want to use Amy, then she's probably good for paneling. And that's kind of just how it's unfolded.
Amazing. And there's nothing better than having a niche and getting known for being kind of the specialist in that area.
Amazing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And do you do kind of the whole room design as well? Or do you focus just like, would you work with another interior designer and you do just the paneling bit? Or do you just incorporate that into a more wider design service as well?
Yeah, I do the wider design service. I have done a few bits and pieces with other designers in the area, but on the whole, it is just me. I'll do the full design. I do anything from a power hour through to 3D designs. So it really is kind of full stretch of everything, which I do like because it just means I'm a lot more hands-on versus just giving a bit of advice and kind of going away. I can get to see the process, which is what I enjoy most.
Yeah, and it's the variety as well. You get to see the whole of the project.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, for sure. I mean, so many clients have so many different ideas about what they want to have done in their homes. And I guess paneling is, of course, only one aspect. It's whether you incorporate colour or keep it quite neutral. So there's always ways about sort of doing different styles depending on what they want to do in their home. So, yeah, from start to finish, especially when I'm sort of going on site while the trade guys are sort of implementing it, I think that's my most exciting bit when I get to go and see it all. So, yeah, it's good.
Amazing. I love that. So it sounds like you've got this niche that you do. You're loving the work, the paneling. It's all going really well. Have you always done this? Has this been a lifelong career or have you done some other things as well?
No. So previously, I had a corporate career. That started when I was about 17, 18. So I didn't go to college or university at that point and sort of worked my way up through different jobs. And the last job I had before going into interior design, I was a PA for a few years at an accountancy firm, which I did love. But towards the end, I just knew that my heart wasn't in it. And I ended up, after a difficult spell of being there, taking voluntary redundancy. And there was nothing else I wanted to do. I mean, by that point, I'd been with the Institute of Interior Design and got the sort of specifications and degree. And there was nothing else I wanted to do. I mean, I had no idea about setting up a business. I had no idea how to kind of find clients. I spent a lot of money in the first year on stuff that I probably just didn't need. And it has been like a really kind of long process of getting to the point I'm at now where I'm feeling a lot more content and happy with how the business is going and feel a lot more confident in myself, I guess, as well.
Amazing. And did you find that sort of, so in terms of the struggles of getting to where you are now, did you find that it was the business stuff more than the design stuff that kind of tripped you up or made you feel, you know, a bit less confident in what you were doing?
Yeah, I think with the design stuff, I've always had a particular style that I love, and I've always really embraced colour. So I guess for that side of things, I was never sort of shy away from doing what I wanted to do. But I think my problem was imposter syndrome. That was a massive issue. I guess for a lot of designers, when you go into the industry and you start out, you see all of these wonderful projects, all of these luxurious products. And it's like, how do I get to that point where I can charge enough to like live and also provide a good service to the client? I've always strived on customer service because I've been in it for so many years. So I've always been a bit of a perfectionist as well. So it has taken a while to kind of realize that you've got a lot of hats with the business. You can't just be one thing. Your one thing is your main thing, but you've also got to do like marketing, and you've got to do your admin, and you've got to be like head of CEO, and you've got to make these like cutthroat decisions that could be really difficult for you as a person, especially for me, because I want to people please. But it's kind of just knowing that these decisions have to be made to kind of gauge, get the business running and basically get it off the ground and make progress.
Amazing. So there's all of that mindset stuff in there, isn't there? About confidence, like you said, about that imposter syndrome, about worrying that you're, needing to people please and all those sorts of things. And we see this obviously in the hub all of the time, that it is those soft skills, if you like, that kind of hold people back, or those mindset gremlins, as we call them. So how did you kind of overcome those? And how did because those things can stop you from doing anything. They can stop you from taking action. So how did you overcome those things, I suppose, to get where you are now?
Yeah, I suppose in the early beginning of starting the interior design business, I used to take on quite a lot of low-end clients. So they didn't have massive budgets, but they just needed some advice. And I enjoyed that just because it kind of got the ball rolling and I could take before and after pictures. But I think in the first year, I did experience some really difficult situations, but I guess that's just made me grow as a designer and as a person. And it's almost built up this like resilience in me that I've dealt with difficult stuff. And of course, there is going to be stuff that will come up in the future that will equally be as difficult. But I feel having that time to learn and sort of bounce back and sort of look at things, even if I did it in the wrong way, I can kind of analyze it and be like, well, how could I do it differently? And learning from that in a massive way, it's then helped me then sort of run the business a lot better. Sort of going into this third year, it's almost been a bit more pivotal for me. I sort of had in the back of my mind when I started the business, people always say, well, within the first 3 years, there is that kind of high percentage of people who will quit because it's just too much for them. And I think, on many occasions, I was like, I'm out, like I'm not going to go ahead with this. I'm literally done. And it wasn't always to do with the clients, because I did have some lovely clients in the first couple of years. It was more a mental thing for me. I just couldn't get past the point where I felt like my worth was enough to sort of run the business and charge what I needed to charge to actually just live. And I just always felt like I had to charge less. I couldn't, even though it's a luxury and even though it's aimed at people who do have bigger budgets, I just never felt that in myself that I was able to do that.
So what changed for you? How did you get past that?
I think a lot of like digging deep into my own mental health, I think that has played a part over the last few years. I mean, anybody who's gone from being employed for sort of 13 years or even a bit less, and you kind of have that structure around you for all of that time, and then going self-employed with sort of no idea how to run a business, I think that just had a massive toll on me as a person in my mental health. I mean, I'm an extrovert, so going from being with so many people to being on my own, figuring it all out, I think it was just very overwhelming. It was frustrating, obviously time consuming, and just all of that just had a real effect on me mentally. But I think sort of this year, coming into the year, I didn't have a good start, but I just feel now that I'm sort of focusing on myself a bit bit more, taking time out for myself, which was never a thing in the first few years. I just always constantly worked because I just felt like I had to, showing up all the time on social media and just being really present at everything kind of made my time very thin with everything. So I think I've just more realized that I do need time for myself and I need that focus time for the business. And both parts are equally as important. It's not one part is more important than the other. I think for the first couple of years, I just thought it was business, business, business. And also, I felt like everything I saw on social media just pointed you at the fact that you had to be busy all the time. If you're not busy, like, what are you doing? If you're not up at 5 a.m. working on your business or not up until 10 a.m., 10 p.m. working on your business, what are you doing? Like, what is life outside of running a business if you're not being that person doing it constantly? So I think, yeah, I think now I've realized me time is really important.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you've mentioned there as well about, you know, your own mental health through the process as well. And yeah, it's amazing that people are talking openly about mental health because it is so important. And I think so many more of us experience mental health difficulties. And as you say, they are incredibly relevant to what you're doing as a business. And you've got, you know, all of that stuff coming at you where everything on social media is really glossy and everybody's perfect and they've set up a business and it's all going wonderfully. And that can really have a negative impact on your mental health, your self-esteem and all of those sorts of things. And so I think it's really important that you've realized that actually the focus on mental health is as important as the focus on the business aspects as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, for a long period of time and stuff, I was, you know, up and down like constantly. You know, sometimes I'd have highs where I was absolutely loving the business and sometimes I'd have real lows where I just felt like I just wasn't worthy of having a business. And it really had a toll then on me being able to reach out and sort of converse and get clients and be articulate and just kind of run the business the way that I wanted to run it. So I think now having more of an understanding of how I am as a person is really sort of helping the business. And I think being true to me as well, like I used to kind of think, well, I need to do it like this or I need to do it like that. And then when I wasn't achieving that, that would make me feel even worse as a designer. So I guess it's just being in my own lane, knowing that I will progress, but it will take some time. But that's okay. It's like having patience that I never had before. So I have to just embrace that, I guess.
Amazing. And it sounds like, I mean, it's a whole other journey, one that perhaps maybe you didn't expect because you think that you're going into it in order to do interior design. And you've already said obviously about, well, actually, it's also all about marketing and being the CEO and all of these other things. But also there's another thread to it, which is about doing it your way as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, when I started, I followed so many different designers and a lot of people that I followed were coaches for designers. So they would say, well, you know, you should always charge if you're going for a consultation. Then other people would say, don't charge because then you kind of get your foot in the door and then you can then put together a scope of work for them. Some people would say, set up a website, you know, that makes it look really professional. Other people would say, don't set up a website. You don't need it. Some would say, you know, spend a lot of money on things like sort of those traditional house and bark and all the rest of it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but a lot of people would say get leads from that. And then other people would say, no, don't do it. I've had bad experiences. But it's like, well, you're pulled in so many different directions, I think, when you start a business. And it's really hard. And I guess having something like the Interior Designer Hub has been quite pivotal for me as a designer, because there's always a place for me to go to ask questions. And I just never had that when I started out. And it was a real shame that I hadn't found you guys sooner, really, because I was just all over the place, like asking stuff in groups that really the people who are in there, although they were designers, they're all over the world. And what they were telling me wasn't suitable really for where I was and located. So yeah, that felt a massive struggle for me and kind of put a barrier up to having some more confidence in myself, I guess. Because I had having a group of people around you to kind of give you that would have been so much more beneficial in the start.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's why the hub exists. And I completely relate to that as well, because I had the exact same experience when I was setting out. And I, you know, you can read an article on a website, you can ask somebody, but you do get so many conflicting pieces of information and different ways of looking at things. And as you say, some things are perhaps more US focused or elsewhere. And what you actually want is for somebody to just kind of take you under their wing and say, well, this is how I do it. And you could do it like this, or you could look at doing it this way. This is why I made this decision. And, you know, but you need to make the decision for yourself. But here's some guidance. And that's exactly what I wish I'd had as well at the beginning of my journey.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what I really dislike at the moment is people who put out, well, I make 10K months, I make 20K months. And it's all a marketing tool. But you're just like, well, how do you do that? Like, how have you got a family? I mean, I've got two children, I've got a partner, we run a house. How do you do all of that and run a business? Like, I just think it's quite insane. And I feel like it then puts pressure on us even more to be this amazing person, to wear like so many hats and stuff all the time. And it's just not normal life. Like, life gets in the way, kids get sick, you know, cars break down, you know, you have to cancel appointments, and none of that is really spoken about, but it is all the life that most of us are living. But, you know, you have a lot on social media that kind of portrays stuff in a very different way. And I think too much of that is not healthy as well, especially for mental health too.
Yeah, I agree. And this model of perfection that is out there, it simply doesn't exist. And if you look at interior design projects, they go wrong often, you know, not necessarily in a major way, but there are things that happen on projects that go wrong. But people don't come onto Instagram and say, oh my God, this happened today and it was terrible. But people do come into the hub and say, oh my God, this happened today, it was terrible. And something about it would be so much nicer if that happened kind of out there on social media more generally as well, with people saying, you know, oh gosh, you know, this situation happened, or I had a nightmare of a client. And obviously you can't say that on social media because you don't know who's looking at it.
Yeah,
but this idea of perfection that's out there is so damaging actually to many people.
Yeah, I do agree. And I do think it would be nice to be able to talk about this stuff more. But as you said, Kate, it's hard to know who's watching. You know, I've got, you know, a few thousand followers on my Instagram page, and I don't know who's watching. I don't know if I say something, if it's then relayed back to a client. So you have to always be professional. But there is that element of wanting to be yourself as well. Like, I don't want to just put pictures and videos up and be prim and polished. I do want me to be present on that and kind of show who I am as a person. I would, you know, I'd hate for someone to invest in me thinking I'm one way, and actually I feel I'm a lot more relaxed as a designer. I feel I'm more like someone's best friend than I am a person that they would, you know, go and get some corporate advice from, for example. I'm more of the person that you want around because you know you can trust, and I've got a good vision of what could happen, rather than someone very kind of straight and sort of this is how we do it and things like that. I just feel like my approach is a lot more relaxed, and I like to showcase that. I don't like it all to be work. I like to kind of show a bit of my personality as well.
I think that's really nice. And I also think, and I've always said as well, that people buy from people. And actually, sometimes it's in showing your very human flaws that other people relate to and other people warm to you as a result of you showing them that.
Yeah, for definite. I do totally agree. I mean, when I'm just doing normal stuff or just having a bit of a bad day and I just maybe might put something up on social media, you know, the amount of messages I get from people just like, oh, you know, like nice messages or laughing at stuff that I've done, like, you know, if I've done something stupid, like tried to dig a pond in my back garden and it's not gone very well and I've taken a picture, you know, people like just laughing and just like, oh my gosh, yeah, I was thinking about doing that. And, you know, just the silly things, really. I just think that, you know, that side of you, I feel, is a lot more appealing to people because, like you said, people buy from people. They don't just buy because they've seen a picture and it looks nice. They want to know who you are too.
Absolutely. I mean, the best bit of watching a film is watching the bloopers at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, totally. It's my favourite bit. It's the bit that makes you laugh the most, isn't it? So
it does. Yeah, brilliant. So obviously, you've been on that journey. You've made these big changes and you've talked about, you know, the difficulties that you've had and that, you know, you've overcome or continue to overcome as you work into the career that you've now got. So thinking about that whole sort of journey that you've been on, are there any kind of lessons that you've learned or anything that you would have done differently now that you look back on the journey as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a lot of stuff, Kate, really. I mean, stuff that I was told to do when I started. So I invested so much money in mindset coaches, in groups of like coaches with other women. I invested loads of money on website costs, having a website built, then it went to shit. Can I say that? Then I had to have it then redone again. I spent money on getting equipment that maybe I probably didn't need. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a Mac that I use and I love it, so I'd never not use that now. But again, it's all investment and it's all money that you've earned over the years that you've accumulated that you're then just splashing out, or you're getting yourself into debt to then, well, you think, oh, well, if I've got a website and I've got the Mac and I'm doing all the marketing, it shows that I am a proper business. But in actual fact, I just don't think I need to do any of that. I don't think any of us need to do any of that when we're starting out an interior design business. I think something like the hub is going to be the right way to do things because you've got people in similar situations. You can ask questions, you can get advice, get training. And I think that's the best thing for any upcoming new interior designer. But all of the stuff I would say I did in the first year was wrong. And I'm not ashamed to say that because I just feel like people knew, then they would know then when they start out not to do the same stuff. And I just feel that perhaps my journey would have felt a lot easier in the start had I have not been swept away with all of this social media crap that says that you've got to do this and you've got to be that and this is how you do stuff. Because inevitably it didn't make me any happier. I spent loads of money, I wasn't happy, I wasn't getting clients, and I was just left with like a lot of debt that I then was thinking in my head, well, how the hell am I going to get out of this? So it was a really tough time. I mean, you go from being employed for however many years, having a monthly income, and then you're down to nothing. And it's like, well, where's the money going to come from? So yeah, there's a lot of stuff I would do differently for sure.
But it's all part and parcel of that learning journey, isn't it? And
Yeah, of
I
course.
sometimes think our best lessons are from our biggest mistakes.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's a shame, really, that some of the mistakes that have been made in the first year have then kind of, I suppose, had an impact on following years. But you live and you learn. Like, I'm never going to learn anything unless I do it wrong. And I just know that because I'm that person. So even if someone says to me, don't go and do it, I'll be like, yeah, but I kind of want to go and do it. I think I might go and do it. So I am a bit like that. So I guess for me, it was definitely good to learn. And it's nice to be able to reflect and share that with other designers. But yeah, it's funny really, because you get so swept up with everything that everyone else is doing. You just think, well, if I want to be a designer, this is what I need to do. But it's just not true. And I think that's the upsetting thing, I think, for people who start out and get themselves in a bit of a tizz about stuff that they need to do when they just don't have to.
I love that, and it's that recognition that there isn't a one size fits all, and there isn't like a right way and the wrong way to do it. Actually, there are many different journeys that you can take to get here, and hopefully through the Hubcast we show this. But you have to kind of find your feet, find your way, and like you said earlier, kind of stay in your lane.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think once you get find your feet, you get over the imposter syndrome. It's, sometimes that will always linger. We're always going to have those days where we just don't feel as good as somebody else. But I think if you, yeah, but I guess someone did say to me a really long time ago, if you're showing up and you're being authentic, you're going to be happy regardless. And I just felt that that really stuck with me. But also, it took a long time to feel that way. And I think you're just going to have to keep persevering. And I think it is all about persevering and being resilient. Like, there is going to be crap situations. There's going to be stuff that goes wrong. Like you said, Kate, there always is. Nothing goes perfect. But I think it's building the resilience, it's learning, and it's also just persevering. Like, showing up and being yourself becomes a lot more easier when you do a lot more of it. If you shy away for months and months and months and don't go on your stories or don't put anything up about you personally, it will feel even harder to do it when you come around to thinking, maybe I should. So it's just, I always used to think, people are going to get bored of me. They're not going to want to see me. They're not going to want to see what I'm up to. But at the end of the day, like, if you don't like it, unfollow me. Like, that's basically it. And it's not like the biggest thing in the world, is it? Like, someone unfollows you. So what? They probably weren't going to buy from me anyway. So you just get on with it. Just, and you've got to have that mindset, I think.
I love that. And that, I mean, that's a real business mindset, because you are going to appeal to some people and you're not going to appeal to other people. And it's that recognition that that's okay. You know, there are millions, billions of people in this world. They're not all going to like you. They're not all going to like what you do. And it's about, exactly as you said earlier, about staying authentic and true to yourself. And then the right people will come and find you.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think it's going to take a while for people to get that, especially when they're new to design. But, you know, over the course of the time that they start designing and stuff, things will happen and they'll grow and the business will grow. And I think as long as you are just being yourself, it will help. But it does take a bit of time. It's not an overnight success story. And, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I still have loads of stuff that I want to achieve. You know, it's not like I've got the perfect business. It's far from it. But I'm getting there, do you know, and I'm happy. And I think that's the main thing.
That absolutely is the main thing. And, you know, when somebody, it's really brave to make a decision to change your life and to then actually follow through and do it. And I think to hear that you've done that and that the outcome of that is that you're happy, let alone all of the other achievements that you've had.
Yeah.
This is what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, it makes me feel a bit emotional, but yeah, it's been tough, but I am really happy. So yeah. Just broken up a little bit, but yeah, no, it's been difficult. Like the amount of stuff that's happened over the last 5 years, like pre like leaving the job I was doing and then kind of going into this. I mean, it's just a bit of a minefield, like really difficult sort of time leaving my old job and then coming into this. But I think, like we've said, I do feel happy, and it doesn't matter that I'm not earning 10k a month. I'm just a lot happier, and I think that's all it needs to be, really.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Amazing. Amy, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. Before you go, would you be happy to play a game of this or that?
I would love to.
Okay, so we have 1 minute on the clock. Let's go.
Okay.
Scandi or boho?
Boho.
Spots or stripes?
Stripes.
Maximalist or minimalist?
Maximalist.
Paneling or wallpaper?
Paneling.
Dark or light?
Dark.
Neutral or colourful?
Colourful.
Blinds or curtains?
Curtains.
Formal or casual?
Casual.
New or recycled?
I'd say no, but I like recycled too, but I'd say no. Yeah.
Leather or vegan?
Leather.
Brand paints or colour matched?
Brand paint.
Faux plants or real plants?
Faux.
Plumping cushions or karate chopping cushions?
Plumping.
Linen or velvet?
Linen.
Glam or rustic?
Rustic.
Art deco or pop art?
Art deco.
Okay, we are out of time. Thank you so much, Amy, for being a good sport and playing our game of this or that.
No,
and thank you so much for coming on the Hubcast today. It's been so interesting to hear your journey and to hear how you've made those changes. And I just know that people are going to find your journey and your story really inspirational. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. It was nice to share a bit of it. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning into Hubcast by the Interior Designers Hub. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot and share it to Facebook, Instagram, or your favourite social media channel. Make sure to tag me in at Interior Designers Hub and let me know what you enjoyed about this episode. I reply to each and every comment. I'd also like to offer you an incredible free gift, which is going to show you the exact roadmap that you need to take to become a wildly successful interior designer. It shares our secrets to business success. If you'd like to get your hands on that, head on over to interiordesignershub.co.uk/roadmap right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.